Well, we reached the close of this two-week series on the Enneagram, which is a personality type indicator developed by spiritual directors from some ancient materials. It said there are 9 basic personality types formed by nurture and by nature. And many of you have told me what your number is on the Enneagram, so I know a lot of you have already taken the type indicator, and you can find more information in the bulletin about where to find it online. There's also some paper copies if you would rather do it on paper. Which leads us to our scripture lesson for the day from Paul's letter to the 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 4 of chapter 12, where Paul is describing how God made us differently, made us to be different, to have different services, different activities, different spiritual gifts, but all for the purpose of the common good. So we begin at verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Well, God, as we open your word today, as we look at how you shaped us differently, we ask that you would help us to understand one another and to work together for the common good. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I had a really good friend in college named Judith. She was different from me, though. She was really adventurous, whereas I was cautious. Our university sent us to a Methodist student conference at UC Berkeley, and Judith's idea was, "Debbie, we should stay an extra week and explore San Francisco." Great idea, except we had no money. So Judith found us a free sofa bed in the small apartment of a Methodist family in downtown San Francisco, whom we did not know. I would never have done that on my own. Judith was the adventurous one. She decided we should take a sailing course at Boston University. I'm thinking the Charles River is really polluted, and if we go sailing in the Charles River, we could capsize and go underwater, and there'd be all these nasty microorganisms swimming up our nose and invading our body with all kinds of horrible substances. And Judith said, "Debbie, we're not going to capsize, and besides, it's only one credit, and you have room in your schedule for an extra credit. It won't cost you anything. It's free fun." Judith knew how to motivate me, cost-benefit analysis. But we're different, very different. We took a U.S. history course together, and it was one of those courses where the whole grade was the term paper that you handed in at the end of the semester. So I had my project, I'm working on it, I'm, you know, getting it done. And Judith's having all this anxiety and worry about the topic she was going to choose. Now, I'm not wired like Judith was. Looking back on it, I can say that was probably my first up-close personal experience with somebody experiencing anxiety, which I don't know very much about and didn't experience the way Judith experienced it. She was so afraid of picking the wrong topic that she had a hard time settling on a topic. And once she settled on a topic, she had a hard time starting because she was afraid she was going to make a mistake. Now, I'm not wired like that. I'm a number one on the Enneagram, which says I'm a moral perfectionist. The good part is I value honesty and order. The bad thing, the shadow side of that, is I can be self-righteous and judgmental and angry. But when I'm in a crisis, I have this commanding officer that pops out of my head and starts giving people orders. Somebody's falling down on the sidewalk and bleeding. I say, you call 911. You take off your shirt and apply pressure. You get a chair for his wife to sit in. You go meet the ambulance. And then I sit down next to the person and hold their hand until everything happens. Or if I have a term paper, I'm like, break it up into little pieces, prioritize how much time you can spend on it, just get it done on time. I always got every paper done on time. I'm probably telling you that because I am self-righteous and I'm proud of the fact I always handed everything in on time. Even when I went into labor, second week of classes, last semester of seminary, I got the paper in ahead of time. I didn't go to the hospital to have the baby till the paper was finished and delivered because I wanted it to be on time. But Judith was wringing her hands and pulling her hair, and she couldn't get started. She went to see the professor. The professor gave her an extension. And then the day before her paper was due, the extended deadline, she confessed to me that she had not started, and she didn't know how to start, and she was all crying, snot was coming out of her nose, she's like pulling on her hair, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? So I told her, we're going to meet at the typewriter tonight, typewriters, that's before computers, and we're going to write this paper. If it takes all night, we're going to do it. We're going to get it done. So you have something to hand in tomorrow. I don't care if it's an A paper or not. We could even aim for a C. It will pass. And so we met at the typewriter. Judith was so anxious she couldn't even type the first sentence. So I made her get up, and I sat down at the typewriter. And she's crying, pulling her hair, and wringing her hands. I said, tell me what your paper is about. And I got her talking. I wrote down some sentences, and then I rewrote her words into a thesis statement. And it took hours, but she was flipping through her notebook. I made her talk. I typed. And by the end of the night, before dawn, we had Judith's words in Judith's paper ready to hand in. But I'm looking at Judith, and the truth is that I failed her in all the ways that I did not understand her. I wasn't kind. I kept thinking, what is wrong with you? Just do it. And I didn't understand the anxiety she had and the way she responded to stress, and I didn't even know really how to help her. And getting through that term paper together, it should have brought us closer together. But it didn't. Instead, it became this obstacle in our friendship because I judged her for being different, for being not like me, and I thought there was something wrong with her. Instead of appreciating that the same adventurous free spirit came with some, you know, other anxieties around deadlines and stuff and learning to understand her, it drew us further apart. Have you ever been there with somebody that you love or somebody that you live with? There are things about other people that we fall in love with someone who is different from us, and we love all the ways they're different from us, except for all those ways that we hate the way they're different from us, and then we work at trying to make them into just like us. When we have disagreements about how to clean up the garage or how to get something done or what to do about your mother, and we can't seem to agree on some of those things because we are different. And in each of these personality types, they're the good parts. The parts that are virtues that motivate us, that pull us towards doing good in God's big world. And there's that shadow side of the downside, the temptations and the vices that we might live into when we're stressed. And the important thing would be for us to understand that God created us very differently, but for a purpose in families, and in community, to be shaped differently, but to work together for the common good. God made a big, beautiful world with such a variety of animals and colors. We have animals with spots and animals with stripes. There's even a Malaysian animal called a tapir. Anybody ever seen one of those in the zoo? They're big, large animals. They have one in Miami. It's like a big brown animal with a squishy nose, and it looks like it's wearing giant white underpants. It is really a funny-looking animal. And God must have a sense of humor because he made us, and he made us different. And we are different sizes and different shapes and different color skin and different texture of hair. And we like different foods and do different things. But God made all of us and loves us in this big, beautiful world. God doesn't love white people more than God loves brown people or black people or tan people. And it's not okay for us to hate people who are different from us, a different color or a different ethnic group or a different faith or different in any way, because God created all of us. And it says in 1 John chapter 4 that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Creation itself gives us the testimony that God loves variety in the way God made people and shaped them with gifts and talents and spiritual gifts and the different numbers that we might have on the Enneagram. And so the best thing for us would be for us to understand one another. What would it mean for you and your family if you knew more about how your loved ones responded to stress? And how you could help them through a time that's difficult in their life. What if you were more aware of the shadow side of your own personality so you can pull it into check sometimes when you're acting out of your temptations and not out of the best of who you are and who you were made to be? Now, Pastor Jeff and Pastor Mike on the Enneagram, they're number sevens, which means they're adventurous and they have big pictures, but they need help from everybody else in accomplishing the details that lead to that big picture. And Pastor Anna, she's a number four on the Enneagram, which means she's creative and artistic, and she loves meeting people that are new, and she's going to cheer up any room that she enters and throw some sunshine around. It's going to be a better place because she showed up. And Pastor Will, he's a number two on the Enneagram, which means he is a helper. He loves to help people. He loves to get to know people. Now, if Will gets on an airplane, he's going to find out the entire life story of everybody sitting on that row with him. And they're going to laugh together and cry together and maybe pray together. He's going to get off the airplane. They're going to be waving at him in the airport at the baggage claim. Me, when I get on the airplane, I try not to touch anybody on either side of me, which is getting harder and harder as the seats get smaller. And I try to get an aisle seat so that I only have one neighbor and I have a quick exit if necessary. And when I sit down, because I'm a perfectionist, I take one of my antibacterial wipes out of its little package and I sanitize the handrail on one side and the armrest on the other side, and I pull the tray table down and clean that all off because I don't want my book to go on other people's boogers. And then I close it up because before you take off, you're supposed to have that in the closed lock position. I don't look at anybody near me. Now, if someone next to me says, oh, that's a good idea, I will offer them their own sanitary wipe so that they can clean off their own space. If they don't talk to me, I don't talk to them. If someone asks me a question, I try to just grunt in response because I don't want to have a conversation. I don't want to make a friend on an airplane. Will's going to know everybody. God made us differently. And we respond differently in human community. And on any given day at Mandarin United Methodist Church, there are going to be people making food to take to someone who is sick. There are going to be people who are volunteering at Crown Point Elementary, helping kindergartners get with the routine, how to open their milk cartons, because they're brand new at this. And they don't even know how to get the top off of things that they're going to eat, and then their shoes come untied, and they don't know how to tie those either. And so we've got people at school that are helping, and we've got those who are tutoring older students. And we'll have Jim McNaughton around here pressure washing. And then we'll have people preparing their Sunday school lessons, what they're going to teach to second graders. prayers, what they're going to teach the older adults on Sunday. We pastors are going to be visiting the sick and working on our sermons, and the Stephen ministers are going to be sitting down next to someone to listen to their hearts in a confidential way and to pray with them. And Brenda's going to be making meatloaf. The whole body of Christ, all 3,000 of us, are living out our purposes according to our gifts, sharing the love of Christ here in this place and in all the places that we go during a week. And that's why God made us different and gave us different gifts, spiritual gifts, different talents, different personalities, different activities, different ways of serving, so that together we can build up the body of Christ and make a difference in the world. So what would it mean for you to have a better understanding of your family, of the people closest to you, when they're stressed, when you're stressed, and how you impact one another? Might you come to understand and support them in a better way because you have a little more insight about how they're shaped and how you're shaped? 1 John 4:8 says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for placing us in families and shaping us to love and serve you in different ways. Help us to understand and care about one another. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn.